Hey guys, welcome to Reality Witch, a podcast where I, Jesse Nails, talk all things reality, witchy, and weird. Each week, I talk about pop culture news, our favorite shows, and of course, some witchy shit. Get ready for some laughs, hot takes, and horoscopes, and join this pop culture coven. Hello, witches, and how are we? I am back. I am alive. Where have I been? Well, figuratively speaking, I'm not sure where I've been. That's something that I'm personally trying to figure out as we speak. But I thought I should come on here and record a podcast episode just so people think I'm alive. Literally speaking, I was home a few weeks ago back in PA for my bridal shower, and I've been back in Denver for 2 weeks now. And the mind's an interesting thing. But before we dive into the details of it all, please go rate and review the podcast, Reality Witch. Historically speaking, if you look at the age of this podcast, I have been posting regularly for about like 2.5 years. The last 6 months, it's gotten a little wonky, mostly because I'm planning a wedding. I'm not really quite sure how people plan weddings while they have a job, because I don't have a job and it's difficult. Like, you literally must like have to take days off or just maybe go to bed at like midnight and then also not do anything on the weekends, because like some of the shit I'm doing or have been doing like really does take a lot of time. Like, and I know I could probably schedule it for like a specific, like all in one day if you needed to, but it's still a lot. Like, I feel like that's still like a day off work, right? So that's what I've been doing, and also battling the existential crisis of what is my life? Will I ever have a job again? And then I go through the motions of, nope, I'm actually never going to work again. And then, you know what? I am going to work again, but it's probably going to be something I hate that will make me borderline like, let's just go live in the middle of nowhere and live off the grid every day, because I don't trust corporate America to provide a well-rounded, happy, healthy job. This is already starting unhinged. I don't even know what's coming out of my mouth. I think all of that to be said, just, you know, go rate and review the podcast. I really appreciate it. A few weeks ago, I was on the Reality Informants podcast. Alex is what I've been calling her. I think that's what most people call her. Spoiler alert, her name's Allie. So she said she tried to do this like fun thing where she was like Allie X, whatever her last name is, I don't know, which is actually like a really cool idea, like in my opinion. Like, you think like back in the day, you're trying to come up with aliases. My alias is Jesse Nails. It's like half of what my real name is, but that's my alias. So I get where she was going with it. And to her surprise, or maybe not surprise, I don't know, everyone just started calling her Alex, even though it's not her name. So I'm still unsure of what to call her personally. I'll probably just still keep calling her Alex strictly by habit, not because I'm doing it on purpose to like be rude by any means. But anyway, go listen to the Reality Informant. It was really fun talking to her. And it was kind of like a good for me, like I kept feeling bad that I wasn't putting out any podcast episodes, but like we were able to talk about the things I would have talked about anyway. So go listen to that podcast. But like I said, a few weeks ago, I was home back in PA for my bridal shower, and there are a few things that needed to be discussed, one being the humidity that is the East Coast. Now, I typically don't go back in the summer. Sometimes I do, but I guess I just haven't been back in like the middle of summer in a while. Now, I also think it's fucking just disgusting this year. I think every year's worse than the one prior. But when I say this humidity was like tropical, it was like, oh, you should be like walking out your door and it should be like Costa Rica, but you're not by the ocean. You're not somewhere exotic. You're in fucking Gilbertsville, Pennsylvania, and in like a cul-de-sac. So the humidity was actually unbearable. Like, if I needed a reminder as to why I don't live there anymore, that's a great one, because I couldn't be more than 2 seconds outside. I had to have my niece go take one for the team and go sit in her car with it blazing hot and cool it off for me, because I told her the day of my shower, once I start sweating, there will not be stopping. There just won't be, because it's no matter how high the AC is at the restaurant, no matter how cool the car gets, like once I start, there will be no stopping. That is how disgusting it was. I also went for like a walk around my old block that I used to live on. It's just like, I don't know, naturical. I like the lack of sidewalks. I like the old houses that are still there. I like the trees that block the sun. It was just, you know, exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to get out of the house. I needed to move my body. That's actually really what goes wrong with me when I'm home for multiple days in a row. I typically don't exercise even if I want to. It just doesn't fucking happen. And my mental health is directly linked to the movement of my body. It just is. I talk about it all the time on here. And so I needed to go for a walk. So I'm walking. It is spitting. It says it's supposed to rain, but I'll be fine. Like, and this is East Coast, right? East Coast storms move slow. I mean, that's why they last a week at a time. Well, I guess along with other things, that is the climate change, the storms back east have been wild. This is more like a Colorado storm where one second it's fine, the next second it is torrential downpour. And that is what happened to me. I was a mile away from my sister's house, listening to music, just enjoying myself. I was thinking about turning around because it was spitting and I knew it was supposed to rain, but I was like, well, I'll just go a little bit longer. Cue a fucking deer just running right out in front of me. I mean, this motherfucker would have taken me out if I took 3 more steps. It scared the shit out of me. Absolute shit out of me. And then like, I was like, well, I really don't want to keep walking. Cause then I was scared. You know, like usually when deer run, like a lot of times, like they're in like 2s or 3s or 4s. I don't know. I was scared multiple would come out and just again, take me out and just not give a shit. So and then it started to spit a little bit harder. I was like, okay, I'm going to take this as a sign from Mother Nature to turn my ass around. As soon as I turn around to face the other side, like the way I came, it just starts pouring, absolutely pouring. I had to start running. I haven't ran in at least a year. It's just not something I dabble in anymore. It's not something my knees and my tendons and my legs like to do. And I start running. Luckily, exercising only at altitude always helps me when I'm back home, because I was able to run a bit farther than usual without taking a break. But I'm saying this rain was unbelievable. I mean, flash floods. It was like a biblical storm. Like that is how insane it was. I couldn't use any of my devices because once they're wet, like you can't fucking touch them. It's stupid. And my nieces are calling me and texting me. My sisters are calling me. They had to come rescue me. So that happened while I was home, you know, again, just wanting to get a little mental health break. And the weather had other plans. The other thing that must be discussed is airport airplane etiquette. Now, I've been thinking this since they let us start traveling again post-COVID, but I don't know what happened to you motherfuckers in like the year that we weren't allowed to fly. Was it even a year? I don't know. But like, what happened to you all? What happened to airplane etiquette and airport etiquette? It is absolutely absurd. For one thing, I typically fly Southwest. I like Southwest. I don't really understand the gripe. It is annoying that you don't get to pick a seat, I guess, but I don't know. I just always pay for like early bird or something and I get a fine seat. I think boarding is quick. I like that you line up in a number so no one's trying to like fucking get in spot one when they shouldn't be. Everyone has their own number. They have really good snacks, good drinks. The planes are usually nice. I have been getting some old ones lately, but that's not why we're here. So yeah, like I really don't mind it and it flies where I need to fly. The one thing Southwest does that I'm not a fan of is family boarding. Now, I don't have a kid, okay? I know I don't have a fucking kid, but I can tell you one thing. If I did have a kid, you know what I would be doing? Buying a seat on any other airline other than Southwest. Because these fuckers do family boarding. There's about, in this flight, 22 kids. Even the person at the gate was like, just warning you guys, there's 22 kids on this flight. Like everyone's like screaming at the fucking terminal. Like if I were one of those families, I would have kicked my kid down the hall and been like, you're not with us. Like it was so fucking annoying. So you have 22 kids. I'd say at least half, which is a lot, is boarding with family boarding. Now that means between the A and B groups, you just get to board. Not because you have a high boarding number or because you have status or because you fly a lot with Salad. Nope, just because you decided to pop out two fucking kids. You get to board before everyone else who also paid a lot for their ticket. And so the other problem is that you think they would just maybe go to the very back and file in, you know, be near the back bathroom, be near the other kids. Like, don't, nope. They just go where they please. Look, I know I don't have a family, but I think you're a fucking ass. You're an asshole and you're asinine. If you think flying Southwest with your giant family and all your kids is like the kosher thing to do. I tweeted Southwest and I said, you guys need to get your fucking family boarding under control. And their response was, hold on, let me find it actually. I mean, one of my favorite pastimes is tweeting at these like companies that really piss me off because like they always answer. Don't ask anyone. You could email their customer service email saying that like a flight attendant broke your arm and like they probably would take 2 weeks to reply if you tweeted them instantly. So I said, Southwest Air, for the love of God, get rid of family boarding. 21 kids and families boarding before everyone else. Their response was, hi, Jesse. We regret that you're dissatisfied with the number of families boarding, and we appreciate your feedback. We hope to leave you with better memories next time. Well, Chelsea, there's not going to be better memories next time, because as long as there's family boarding, there will not be better memories. So there's that. So this is just my advice. You know, if you have a family, if you have kids, you might, maybe you're not aware. You know, we all have blinders on when it comes to our life, our experiences. Maybe you're not aware of how unbelievably annoying and rude it is that you get to board before everyone else, even if you took the 23 hours to check in your C-59, you somehow get to board with your two kids before everyone else because you're family boarding. Whereas if you just went to United, Delta, for literally any other fucking airline, you can pick your seat, you can make sure you're next to your, oh, you know what else grinds my fucking gears? The not family boarding people that, again, late to the airport or forget to check in. And, you know, I'm not trying to get bad karma here and miss a flight or something. We all have shit that happens that might make us late to the airport. I get it. But there's always that one person and their kid. They're last aboard. And we get, was anyone willing to give up their aisle seat or their window seat for this mom and child? You'll get a free drink. No, bitch. This flight is over 4 hours long. Okay. I am absolutely not giving up my aisle or window seat. I'm sorry. I'm fucking sorry. Once again, go on an airline where you can pick your seat. And to be honest, Southwest, in my opinion, isn't really a discount airline anymore. It's all fucking expensive. In fact, I think Southwest has been more expensive than some of the other airlines. So don't give me it's cheap and it's all we can afford, because that's not really the case either. I think they're all the same, if I'm being honest. Like American Airlines is cheaper than Southwest right now. So why don't you check them out, parents, please? Let's see the other etiquette. Oh, just that no one listens. Now I understand if your headphones are on, fine. But I can't believe how many people have to be told to, okay, guys, we're going to land. We need everyone to remain seated because we have kids on the plane. We need the like kids flying alone. We need the kids to come off first. Just please take, nope. We fucking touch down. The old farts are standing up. They're opening the overhead bins. They're about to just like, it's like, sit the fuck down. Like, listen, like no one listens. Oh, can you guys please open the vents? Nope. No one's doing shit. Don't even get me started on the fucking dogs out. We know that should be a rule, but people still like to have their bare feet out. I'm not a barefoot person, like barefoot out anyway. Like, I'm not a big fan of like sandals or flip-flops. I do think you need to be wearing a sock and a shoe on an airplane and through an airport. That is just my opinion. I do think people like, because like, you know, you think you're in a sandal, right? You're on an airplane, you're on a sandal. You know your ass is taking that sandal off. You know it. And then your bare feet are going to be out on the seat. Having your fucking seat partner has to stare at it. It's awful. Food. If you are eating any food with a stench, a sandwich, French fries, cheeseburger, don't even get me fucking started on a chicken salad, an egg salad. Like, eat it before you get on the plane. I should not be smelling a hoagie when I'm, you know, flying over Kansas. Like, I don't need to be smelling that. Eat your fucking shit. And honestly, I don't know how you people do it. Like, I used to try and eat before flights. Like, I would eat like in the terminal. And I think because of the altitude, my stomach would get so bubbly mid-flight. And like, I would just like, it was just disgusting. Like, I would have like be burping the whole time. So like, I don't even know how you motherfuckers consume that type of food on an airplane. I mean, stick to like chips, pretzels, candy, like quite literally anything else. Okay. If you are in the middle seat, you get both armrests. So for those people in the aisle or window that just think they fucking rule the roost, give it up. Okay. You have an aisle, you have a window to lean on, give up the other armrest. And I know this might sound obvious, but last few flights I've been on with my friend, she's in the middle, the motherfucker on the window is just, they're basically in a lazy boy recliner, just taking over the space. Let's see. I could go on all day. Oh, and like, okay, if we're still boarding and you need something out of your suitcase, just wait. Okay. Just fucking wait. We don't, and guys, I hate to sound ageist. It's always this fucking old person or just someone just older, at least boomer age, that is trying to open up their suitcase. Their bodies are in the aisle. They're trying to reach into something deep to grab something, whether it's a coat, a sweatshirt, the iPad. Why isn't the iPad ever on you, people? You have to keep your iPad on you. Even if you have to carry it in your arms onto the airplane, get it out before you get on there. Because now we're boarding and there's people in the aisle. No one can get past, holding everybody up, and they don't give a shit. The people looking in their bag could give zero shits that they are holding up the entire aircraft. And you know who also doesn't give a shit for some reason? The flight attendants. No one is trying to facilitate the boarding process. Everyone's just letting them do what they want. And that also needs to be stopped. So basically, there needs to be a class, kind of like when you're 15, 16, you go get your license, your permit. There needs to be a class required by all people of airplane airport etiquette. And you must take it, a class, and you must pass the test before your fucking ass can get on an airplane. Because people be wilding out on these fucking airplanes. They're going crazy. No one knows how to act anymore. No one knows what to do. And if you don't know how to act in an airport or on an airplane, maybe just stay home, because I think you have bigger fish to fry. All right. Well, I think that is enough of my personal opinions, my life, and all the things. So let's just dive into what we really want to talk about today. The first two bits of news are very sad, but I feel like I can't just record the podcast without mentioning it. First one is Pee Wee Herman, as we know him, or Paul Rubens, passed away the other day. I believe he had cancer, and it was one of those things where like no one knew he had cancer. He was kind of keeping it from his close friend, from his friends and the world. So it came as a shock. And then the other one, which really hit hard for me, is Angus Cloud, the guy that plays Fezco on Euphoria, also passed away. It is said that he... it's likely an overdose, suicide. They said his dad passed away a few days ago, or maybe like a week ago, and he was taking it really hard. His dad was his best friend. So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know if he was just coping with drugs and, you know, accidental overdose, or, you know, who knows, but that doesn't matter. But it's just really sad. You know, I think depending on obviously like who you're a fan of and what shows you watch and what importance those shows and movies have in your life, that definitely goes into how you feel when someone like this passes away. And Angus is like one of those. Euphoria, while some people find it to be too intense, too over the top, too inappropriate, I find it to be one of the most like compelling shows like I've ever fucking watched. It makes you feel something. And typically I can't watch those types of things because I do get so depressed watching stuff sometimes. But like, I don't know, like Euphoria just really like hits home, and it makes you feel what the characters are feeling. And Euphoria fans have such a fucking connection to that show and like a love for the show. And he's part of that. Oh my God, he was like so fucking good and so fucking amazing. And just to know that like now we won't see him anything like future projects. It's just really sad. He was only 25. Like, that is insane. So just rest in peace to both of them. And it's just super sad. Like I said, it just, especially when they're just so young, it's like very, very hard. But let's move on to something a little bit lighter. The fucking segues from shit like that to the bullshit that I talk about is always a little awkward. It almost seems like borderline inappropriate to just like move on from that and talk about something so fucking stupid. But I mean, here we are. That's what we do. So speaking of maybe someone that should cross over, Mitch McConnell, this motherfucker, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he saw the light. I don't know if he had a seizure. I don't know if he became possessed by a spirit, but he was giving like a speech and just paused mid-sentence and didn't come back to us. Eyes wide open, mouth shut, just gaping. I mean, just staring into the abyss. Everyone's like, Mitch, are you okay? Mitch, are you okay? Okay, we're going to take him back to his office now. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for coming. Like, okay. So then everyone, of course, is like, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, what happened? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. Like, Mitch, what's the status of your health? I'm fine. I'm fine. Mitch, who would replace you? But I'm fine. And then I had a meltdown. I had an absolute meltdown. I obviously made a TikTok about it. Mostly people agree with me. Of course, some people are like, you have no compassion. You know what? You're right. I don't have fucking compassion, okay? Because here I am, a millennial, a woman whose rights are being stripped from her, like, by the second at this point. Like, thank God I live in a state that has a head on its fucking shoulders. But, and Mitch McConnell is part of that, okay? I can't afford a house. Many millennials can barely afford their rent, barely can afford anything. And these fuckers that are 70, 80 plus years old are in the highest positions of power within our government, making laws, casting their votes on what should and shouldn't be legal, what should and shouldn't be protected. It's absurd. And here's this motherfucker, so fucking old that he can barely put a sentence together without stroking out. How does he still have a job? How does he still have a job? And this is not just a Republican thing. This is all parties. Do I think Joe Biden's too fucking old to be president? Yeah, I fucking do. Just like Donald Trump was. Just like all these other old fucks in the House, in the Senate, wherever the fuck their old crinkly asses are sitting, they're all too fucking old. And I'm not really sure when they're going to put a kibosh to this. There needs to be not only a term limit, but there needs to be an age limit. There just has to be. Like, I know that seems very, like, if you think about corporate world, in no way would it be legal for someone to be like, all right, you're 75, time to get the boot. But I think when it comes to the government and like who makes our laws and like, I don't know, it's like you need to have a constantly growing, advancing and modern mind. Like, you can't have someone with the same ideas that they had in 1940. And I'm pretty sure Mitch McConnell was born in the 40s. So that's how old he fucking is. You just can't have the same. You can't have him. You can't fucking have him. Doesn't make any sense. And that's why we're in the situation we are in today. Okay. So there's my two cents on that. I need them. At this point, if they're not going to have like a limit, a term or age limit, they all need to croak. And I'm not famous enough to get canceled yet, so I'm just going to say it. They all need to fucking croak. They all need to go over the bridge, through the woods, probably to hell. Because let's be honest, none of them are getting greeted at the pearly gates. Even though they think they are, they aren't. I do want to talk about the new Roni. This is also, like I said, I've been liking doing these episodes like this lately. I'm not recapping anything. I'm just going down shit I like to talk about. Also, with the whole SAG situation, I don't know like what's kosher and what's not kosher. I'm not a big recapper anyway, so I think I'm safe. But I also think reality TV might be safe. I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm not hating the new Roni. I do like it. I think the people are interesting. I really like, I know everyone does, but I really like Jenna Lyons. I think she is just really cool. She's the prime example of like, I think she always looks so good, so chic. I would look terrible in every outfit she wears. It's just my build. I'm a little long, but I'm not lean. I think you need to be a little long and lean to be wearing like the baggy pants and the baggy sweater. You know what I never look good in? I wish I did. When people just wear those baggy ass sweaters with baggy jeans and they just tuck the sweater in a little bit, like in the front. Like, how does it not look like you have a gargantuan fupa? I can't tuck anything into a pant. I cannot. You can see it. I don't know how people do it. It's one of those like fashion mysteries. Same with the, if you put on like an oversized tee or sweater, just tuck it into your bra or whatever. Yeah, I tried that. It still doesn't work. So I don't know how these girlies are doing the fashion hacks. Anyway, I do like her. I think her apartment's cool. I didn't realize she has I do now. Like, I heard this last week, but like, I didn't realize she had a genetic disorder. So her hair, teeth, and eyelashes are all fake. And she's like covered in scars, except for kind of like her chest and like midsection, which is why like if anything's exposed, it's that. But I do like her. I find her interesting. I think even though she probably is having not the best time and seems very out of her element, I do think so far she is like meshing pretty well with the other ladies. Like, I think she's trying, you know, like she knows what she has to do. And I think she's trying. Sai is like, okay for me. I know people are probably thinking that, what's the other girl's name? Hold on. Oh my God. I just don't feel like pausing right now. Oh, Brynn. I know people probably think Brynn is the most try hard, which don't get me wrong. She's trying pretty hard, but I think Sai is trying very hard. I don't know if I think her jokes are that funny quite yet. It's not hitting for me. I think she is definitely, she knows the task at hand. I think she is trying to be entertaining. But for some reason, it's just not hitting for me in the comedic standpoint. Like, I just think it's too fake. Not that I don't like her. I don't know. I am obsessed with her brownstone though. That, good for her. Uba, I think, is actually very funny. I think she is the cousin of, I can't remember, Chanel from Dubai, whatever. I don't feel like I'm like, but like, I think she's funny. Aaron, I think people have mixed reviews on Aaron. I really like her. I love her style. I like her look, her Luke. I like her voice. Do I think, you know, I don't love the, my husband and I just have so much sex. Yeah, okay. We've heard that a million times before too. I don't love that storyline, but I do like her. I really like her style and I like her look. And I know it's like funny because everyone's making fun of her. She's like true New Yorker. Like that's like her shtick. She's like the new Kyle Richards, like in Beverly Hills, in my town, Beverly Hills. But when I think of New York, I think of Aaron. Like, I don't know. Like that's the personality trait I think of. Let's see, who else do we have? Oh, Jessel, not a fan, not quite a fan yet. But I think she is going to blossom because I think she's nuts. I think she is holding back on when she will absolutely lose her fucking mind. Her relationship with her husband's interesting. Oh, we were friends. And then it's almost like that thing where like, hey, if we're both single when we're 40, let's like get together, you know? So I think her relationship with her husband's a little odd. She said she hasn't had sex in like 2 years because she got pregnant with her twins and hasn't had sex since her twins were born. I don't think she's had sex since the twins were conceived at this rate. And the girls won't let her live that down. Now, I do know you can go a long time. I've never pushed out a child, but I don't know what and when I'd want something up my vag after pushing something out of it and having it tear the fuck open. But I'd say 2 years is like is a limit. You know, it's time to get back in there. I also think she was really annoying during this last episode, or I guess 2 episodes ago, when Jenna gave them the lingerie and she's like, it's ugly. I look like frumpy. Like, it was just too much. Just too much. And then Brynn's goofy. That's all I got to say about her. She's a goof. And I think she's an interesting personality to mix with the ladies. But overall, I do like it. I always say we have to give these things a shot. I'm treating this like a new franchise. I mean, it technically is a new franchise, but like, you got to treat it like almost like a new show. Like, we got to give it a shot, because if we don't, Bravo will stop giving us content. And at this rate, with the SAG strike, we're not getting content anyway. So you might as well just enjoy the shit that's on TV. I will say though, there was a point, you know, people, when they were all at Jenna's house about eating, and they were pissed that all she had was caviar. I'm on Jenna's side for that. Okay. When she's like, these women are obsessed with food. I didn't think I would need to have all this food for them. It's 4 o'clock. We're going to dinner at 7. I agree. You know what? I fucking agree. And I'm glad someone else finally had to say it. Now, I get a lot of shit for not eating sometimes. I don't like to eat when I'm in public. And I also don't like to eat when I'm drinking. Both give me a stomach ache. Okay. I just like, I'll munch here and there. And you know what everyone's always obsessed with? What I'm eating. What's, you know, I'm hungry. Can we go get dinner? I need a snack. Oh, we want, oh, let's go to this bar. It's going to be really fun. Yeah, let's go. But like, I'm going to need a full 4-course meal before we go there. Like, I find that eating gets in the way and it's very annoying. And I would be her. I'd be like, we are going to a dinner at 7. It is 4 o'clock. You're telling me you need a full meal before that 7 o'clock dinner. And then not only that, it took you hours to drive up here. You couldn't have stopped. She's like, I thought they would have stopped, which I agree. And so you know what? Thank you for someone for saying it. We don't need to be obsessed with full meals every time we arrive somewhere. Okay. So I agree. I agree with Aaron on that. The perfect example is we were at a concert a few weekends ago and our two friends were like, quote unquote, starving. All I did was talk about chicken tenders and chicken fingers the entire concert. And on the walk home from the concert, they were talking about food again. And I was like, you know what? You motherfuckers think we're the weird ones because we don't eat that much. Quite frankly, I think it's insane and psychotic that you can't go to a 3-hour concert without, oh my God, I'm just choking. The universe is like, shut the fuck up. I think it's annoying. I think it's crazy that you can't go to a 3-hour concert without thinking about a chicken finger. I think that's weird. So there's that. I did see Barbie and Oppenheimer this past weekend. I basically lived at the movie theaters this past weekend. It was incredible. You guys know I love the movies. Barbie, 20 out of 10. I mean, exceeded my expectations. I went into it just thinking like, it's going to be a fun, cute movie to see. I know the controversy and the people is anti-men, blah, 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 the feminist agenda. Go fuck off, okay? I love when, like, again, the people that call other people snowflakes are so highly offended by a comedy that is called the Barbie movie. It was hysterical. I laughed the entire time. The Kens were hysterical. I thought the concept was super cute, super creative. I'm not going to spoil anything. I just thought it was great. I thought it was so well done. Super nostalgic for me. I had a lot of the Barbies, a lot of the outfits, fucking Midge, the pregnant one. That whole situation was hilarious in the movie. And like, as for being this like feminist, like forward movie, I mean, I think that's the joke, right? I think it's like, what would the world look like in a very satirical way if roles were reversed? And I think that's just what we get. Like, yes, it's exaggerated. It's funny. I don't think it is political by any means. I think it's just like on society. And there's also a really great like take on Barbie itself and how Barbie evolved and, you know, how maybe Barbie also set some like expectations that were unrealistic, but now it's, I don't know. It's just, it was, at the end of the day, it was funny. It was like enjoyable to watch. I thought it was great. Oppenheimer. Now, this is going to be a hard one for me to explain because it wasn't a bad movie. And it's typically a movie I would really like. Like, I really do like movies like that, like historical movies that like shed light to me on something that like I didn't know the details of. So like, I really like the concept behind it. I think all the actors did a great job. It was filmed really well. However, it was just so long. And don't get me wrong, I like a long movie, okay? I'm an Avengers girly, I'm a Marvel girly. My ass is already planning on being parked in a movie theater seat for at least 2.5 hours, typically. So it's not even like the length is what got me. Like, I saw Avatar 2, was great. It was just that they didn't like keep the energy up for the length of the movie. It at times felt like it was dragging. There was so much fucking talking, not enough action. Maybe that's why I can go through like Avatar and Marvel, because it's mostly action. The last hour and a half in any Marvel movie is just action. You're holding your breath because no one will stop moving. It just was too long. That's all I'm going to say. It was just too long. And like I said, it was a good movie, though. Like, I'm sure people will love it. I'll probably never watch it again because it was just too long and too dry. But I did find it cool that he was friends with Albert Einstein. I was shocked to see Albert Einstein in the movie. I guess I thought he died approximately a million years ago. So that was a nice little surprise. But yeah, other than that, it was good. I guess if you like that shit, you'll probably really like it. I just think it was too long. That's all. All right, some Kim Zolciak-Bierman news. So if you guys know, follow me on TikTok, you see me talk about the Bierman closet. It is like a Kardashian closet wannabe, and like the shit they have on there is unbelievable. The biggest thing that I found when I was making TikToks about it, and this was again like a year ago at this point, I feel like, they would have things like worn once, or like the price would be a quote unquote discount price because it's a used item. But if you look up the item anywhere else, you can get it brand new for the same price or much cheaper on like a Poshmark or something. So like they're kind of like lying, and they're doing this again. Like she's putting on her stories like items to buy via Cash App or Venmo. A lot of stuff she wants you to Venmo Brielle for, which is like sketchy. Like, why send it to the daughter? And people are, again, finding that the items are not worn once. They've seen her use the items multiple times in photos. And then, like, the price still doesn't match up. You can get the same item for cheaper or same price, like, on a more legit website. Look, I know they have to sell these things. It's, like, honestly, it's a good thing they're trying to sell these things. And they have been for a while. Like, again, like, the Bierman closet. But they're just still so just a little out of touch because the shit's still too expensive. No one trusts that it's like good quality. No one trusts that they're going to get it. Someone even said like, you know, if I'm fucking Venmoing you, how do I know when I'm getting it? Like, make like a Poshmark or make a legit website, like any, like something that like, they're just so interesting to me. Again, they are not getting divorced, but then there's issues again with like the dash cam footage that came out between the two of them. So who really knows what's going on? Kenya Moore is coming out saying she thinks Kim should go to rehab. Honestly, they probably should. They need something. I'm sure she's still a gambling addict. I think they're probably not getting divorced because they realize that they can't afford to. Like, in my mind, I just don't see how there is a path forward for them to like really get along. So I'm wondering if they got back together thinking that would maybe give them like a shot on like a TV show, or again, the divorce is just too messy and too expensive. All the lawyers are too expensive. And they're like, look, it's either this or we're fucking homeless. So we'll just deal with each other. We'll see. I say it every time I talk about them. I just want like an insider scoop. I need to figure out what's actually going on here. Because it's fucking weird. It's weird. Okay, Miranda Lambert's getting a lot of shit for how she's reacting to her fans. This story isn't new, but basically, just in case you need a refresher, she had some fans taking selfies together. Like, their back was towards Miranda. I think there probably was some flash photography, and Miranda stopped them and kind of said something. Now, this could go both ways for me. So, one, fuck you, Miranda Lambert, right? I mean, these people, I think, were in VIP, paying a shit ton of money, a large group of them. Clearly huge fans. They're paying that much money to go see her. And they just want to get a photo. Like, and to be called out in front of everybody, and now, like, it's just... by someone you, like, love, like... I couldn't imagine going to, like, you know, they say, like, don't meet your heroes for this reason. It's, like, I couldn't imagine going to, like, a concert or a show of, like, someone I'm, like, I would consider, like, the biggest fan of, and then them just being a complete asshole to me. Like, I would be devastated. But then I'm, like, okay, if I were going, there's always those people at concerts where they're recording video and they accidentally have their flash on. It literally just happened to me this past weekend. And, like, they only have it on for, like, a second, because usually once they notice it's on, they're, like, oh, fuck, sorry. It's so fucking bright. It is so distracting when everything's so dark and you have this bright light behind you. Like, it's a lot. And so if they were using a flash, I could see how that would be annoying. However, if this was just one photo, one quick photo, and then like, okay, like we're done, Like, get over it. If they were taking 10 photos and there was a flash each time and it was distracting, sure. I guess I still don't know if I agree with Miranda Lambert, but sure, maybe say something. Maybe be a little bit more funny. Like, maybe put some comedy behind it, not be such a fucking asshole. But I don't know. I think as much as these fans would probably piss me off, I think I lean more on their side. Again, unless they were taking photos the whole time, which... even taking a photo the whole time isn't that big of a deal, but like if the flash was on, then sure. I will say though, people, just a little word of advice. Don't have your phone out the whole time at a concert. Enjoy yourself. Like, live in the moment. I follow somebody on Instagram right now that is posting about 10 Taylor Swift videos a day. And I've come to the conclusion that this person actually didn't watch any of the concert that wasn't through the lens of their phone. Like, I know we want to like really... like save the moments. We want to be able to go back and look at them later, even though we probably won't. We want to be able to like just put the memory in a box so we never forget how fun it was. But I can assure you that you will have so much more fun if you just, you know, take a few like 15-second videos here and there. And then for the most part, just have your phone away. You will have so much more fun if you do it that way. And It is like oddly annoying to be near somebody, like whether you're next to them or behind them, and like your view is kind of like is like a phone screen. It's an annoying weird thing. Like, it's different if it's someone's like head or a person like that you're used to, but when it's someone's fucking phone that's in your way, it's like, dude, put it away. Like, you could have just paid for a YouTube live stream, or not even paid, you probably could have watched it for free if that's how you want to consume this type of media, is through your phone. So that's just my word of advice anyway. Just keep the phones away. All right. I think we've all heard of this Carly Russell case. This is a woman that faked her own kidnapping, I believe, a week ago. You guys, when we got to stop doing this. Like, okay, for those that are just a little out of the loop, basically, Carly called 911. Again, I don't... what did he say? It was over a week ago at this point. Claiming she saw a toddler walking down the side of the road, like on a highway. And then I think like at the end of this call, or at the end of some call, she was like acted like she was getting attacked, screaming and, you know, in trouble, scared, whatever. And then she was missing for a few days. Well, she was found. She's fine. And she faked her own kidnapping. When she was first found, we were still on her side. Her boyfriend said that she was, quote, fighting for her life for the last 48 hours that she was missing after her return. And he did mention a kidnapper. So obviously, like, that's what the story she's told them and told everybody else. But things just started coming out, like, where the parents of this said toddler, things weren't adding up. And then we get into our Google searches. And they are ridiculous. It's very much giving, what was that guy that murdered his wife? The ugly fucking, like, real, like, he was like, I forget what he did. He said his wife went missing on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. And his Google searches on his son's iPad were literally like, how to dispose of a 127-pound white woman. How long does it take the body to decompose? Like, can you identify a body without teeth? Like, I mean, and then he went to fucking Home Depot and like bought a tarp. Like, I'm like kind of finding like the comedy in a very, very dark situation, but it's comical. Like, it is literally like almost a spoof because of how dumb these people are. So they, you know, went through Homegirl's Google searches and said, quote, do you have to pay for an Amber Alert? That was one of them. Another one was how to take money from a register without being caught. Another one, she searched Birmingham bus station, a one-way bus ticket to Birmingham bus station. Let's see. Some of them do. I mean, the do you have to pay for an Amber Alert is ridiculous. But like, guys, this people have done this before, okay? And she seemed to try and do some research. You can't just fake a crime. You yourself will then be charged with a crime. You can't say you're kidnapped and then you're not kidnapped. Like, bitch, you will go to jail. You will owe $1 million. Like, you will owe something. Like, if you want your boyfriend to feel bad for you, there's a lot of other things you could do, okay, to make him feel bad for you or to get him back. For one thing, get a hotter boyfriend. Just start fucking someone hotter, Okay. Might be a little difficult. Or at least someone like of equal attractiveness. That'll get him to maybe think twice about leaving you. So like I said, there's other options here other than faking a kidnapping and getting like nationwide news coverage because of your kidnapping. So I mean, creative though. Like it wasn't just like, oh, I went missing. It was like, oh, I see a toddler on the side of the road. Like way to bring someone made up into it to just make your story even worse. Next, I do want to talk about Ariana Grande. Now, I am absolutely appalled, shook, surprised, gagged, as Gen Z, as the youngins say, about this Ariana Grande situation. She was rumored to be dating her Wicked co-star. And I'm just going to say it because everyone else is either saying it already or thinking it and too scared to say it. He's not a looker. He's not conventionally attractive, okay? He's not, unless you say he's not Ariana Grande level attractive, I guess is what we really are trying to say here. That was the first shock. Just if you Google pictures of them together, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. And I personally cannot get over it. Then it came out, his wife, no, he's married. He's not dating her. Like, this is all rumors. Oh, okay, cool, rumors. Oh, nope, next day, her husband must have came clean because Ariana and this man are dating. The woman now feels abandoned by her husband, and they are now filing for a divorce. So lots of things happening very quickly. And now people officially are like, Ariana Grande can go fuck herself because she has done this before. She has music about not being a girl's girl. She doesn't give a fuck. Okay. She doesn't give a fuck. And let me say something. If you think something is true love, you know, you just couldn't help the feelings. You know, sometimes good relationships come from a potential affair all the time. You know, it's like the people are just too scared to divorce before they start dating. This is not the case, homie. Homie, you should have stay with your wife, stay with your family, because as soon as Wicked's wrapped up, maybe even before it's wrapped up, Ariana Grande will be a goner. This is just what she does. And, you know, I'm kind of happy people are seeing her for it because it is bullshit. Like, and I don't think this is like the double standard. Oh, men can do it. We can't. No, no one can do this. No one can just keep consistently like either cheating on their spouses or hooking up with a married or taken person and just get away with it. So, you know, maybe OG Ariana that licked the donuts at that donut shop, that's truly who she is, clearly. And I think she's just pretending that she's just this sweet little girl, blah, blah, blah. And I still don't think that this look that she has going on, she's like, this is how I actually look. You guys are starting to say, no, it's not. It's not how you look. You are an Italian woman. Okay, I think. Pretty sure she's Italian because I know when she was like really tan and like basically blackfish, like she's not a brown person, okay? She just liked to really tan herself before, but now she has a whole different look that's going on. I'm not really sure what it is. So where am I even going with this? I'm rambling. I don't fucking know. I just know I am excited to see Wicked. I think it will be good whenever it comes out, but she needs to cool it. Ariana Grande needs to fucking cool it. And this man that she is having an affair with is going to regret every decision he's ever made from this point forward. And lastly today, we are going to talk about Raquel Leviss, Graham Krecha, aka Hippie. So allegedly, Raquel and her mom, someone gave up the dog to a shelter because Graham Krecha kept biting people. Lisa Vanderpump rescued the dog and then gave it back to James. And James now has access to the dog. It's his dog again. And he's renaming the dog Hippie. I'm trying not to focus too much on the name change because people's animals have like 10 nicknames. So I get it. And I know people like rename sometimes, like if they rescue a dog, like sometimes they'll rename. It just seems like a weird move. That's all. Maybe they went like no connection to Graham Krecha and his past life. And Raquel, I get it. Hippie is in memory. It's like a homage to George Michael, his godfather that he was really close with. I do hope they claim they have given this dog behavioral training and lessons. I don't know how much of that I believe. I could see them maybe taking him to like one class and calling it a day. Like, cause like if you take a dog like that to a class with other dogs, like you will get kicked out, you know? Like I feel like it needs one-on-one training, maybe needs to be sent away for a few weeks to one of those like dog camps. So I'm happy James has it. I'm hoping James will be able to rehab the dog. But I mean, just another like monstrous thing that this bitch did. Like, why would you not call James and be like, hey, do you want the dog? I'm sure there's a side where she's like, I did. I swear I asked James. He said, but like, I'm not going to believe that because I think James would take that dog back in a fucking second. So I'm interested to see where this goes. They are all filming now. I think Raquel is filming to some capacity. I keep hearing shit though that she's still kind of holding out on like a contract. She wants to make sure she's getting paid appropriately, which fine. This season's going to be interesting. I'm not getting hopes up. I think people are like really ramped up for it because, you know, it's the season coming off of the season. But we'll see. I could see it being very weird, you know, but I am excited for what's to come. Again, are we going to get the show? I don't know. Is reality TV in SAG? I don't know. They're filming. I don't know how any of this works, but fuck. I still think fuck Raquel and fuck Rachel. Okay, guys, we're going to do a little witchy shit segment because today is a full supermoon in Aquarius. Again, I know I'm dropping this episode today, so if you miss it, that's totally fine. You can still harness the energy tomorrow, even maybe the day after. The good thing about this full moon, it's one of two this month. We have a super blue moon at the end of the month as well. So this full moon in Aquarius, I've been listening and reading all about it because, like I said in the beginning of this podcast, I am back to, I know I'm a cycle. Everything's a cycle, right? I say this every few months, but I'm back to this week. I know it's only Tuesday, but so far today, I've really wanted to start off on a new foot. The first of the month, full moon. Yesterday, I went to Ritual Craft, this store in Denver, metaphysical store. I got some new crystals. I made a spell jar, which was actually very fun to make. Highly recommend Googling spell jars. And like my store carries like the little jars and I sealed it with a green wax for good luck. And like I really enjoyed it. So I did that. I got a new journal. So I started that today. It's like a monthly journal with prompts. Helps me practice gratitude, helps me manifest and talk in present. I also just ordered a shadow self workbook. I've been putting that off for years, but I think that'll help me too. I think I need to do some shadow work to get things to really start happening in my life. But like I said, today's the full moon in Aquarius, and this is all about like full moons in general are about releasing, but because there are a handful of planets in retrograde and because it's specifically Aquarius and a super moon, it's closer to the earth. The energy is like way more insane, way stronger. It's about like tackling toxic situations or relationships and then releasing them. So again, like we do in a full moon anyway, we're releasing our anxieties, we're releasing our stress, our fears. The releasing helps us then tackle what we want to manifest later in the moon phase. So if you have a toxic situation, a toxic relationship, or even not toxic, but just something you're hanging on to that you kind of need to let go, this is a really good time to do that. Journal about it, just jot down things that you're releasing or just say them out loud, meditate. Another thing I'm going to try to remember to do is put out some moon water. So just put some water in a glass jar, put it outside tonight, charged by the moon, drink it tomorrow. Clean your space really well. Again, releasing all the negativity, get all the fucking bad, dirty energy out of your house. But that's pretty much it. I just want to make you guys aware of the full moon. It does come with a lot of energy. And then the second full moon this month, which we'll talk about later, that is even more of a bigger deal when it comes to like manifesting and moving on with our goals. So if you want to, Google the full moon, the super moon in Aquarius, see how it affects you and see what you can do to harness the energy. Okay, guys, that's it. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry I took a little break. But like I always say, I don't want to put out shit just to put it out. I feel like that's, you'll be able to tell and it's not good and it's forced and I don't enjoy myself. So I just try to do this intuitively. And sometimes that's every week and sometimes it's not. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Please go to realitywish.com, follow my socials, leave me a review, and we'll chat next time. Love you. Bye.